Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think the older you get, the more you begin to realize that change constantly happens. Whether you grow older, obviously you do. The hair gets gray. You maybe get a little bit in a different shape than you were before. But change occurs. But yet not all change is bad. Some is for our benefit. And the reality is that there's only one thing in the world that never changes. It's God's Word. It's a word of truth from its very spoken in the beginning and to us today. And God's Word really comes to us in two forms. One is in the form of the law, a law that would reflect our sins or show us our sins, or that SOS title, or the gospel that comes as a repentance flows in, forgiveness washes over us, and we are new creations. So it shows our Savior, which is also an SOS. With all that said, as kind of the foundation, I want to tell you a story about a newlywed couple. Their names were Jesse and Janie. And after they were married, they were dog lovers, and they decided that they would purchase a dog together. So they got themselves a dog, like the Hush Puppy Shoes dog, a Basset Hound. And they loved this dog, and they fed this dog bacon for breakfast, steak for lunch, took it for walks twice or three times a day, and took it for a car ride all the time. This dog was treated like royalty and was very much pampered. There was only one problem with Charlie the dog, is he had kind of a, he smelled. He had a gas problem. And so therefore, all those couple loved their dog. The dog had to sleep out in the hallway in a made-up basket for it, never in the bedroom. Well, that worked really well, although Charlie didn't like it, until Jesse was away on business and Janie was home. And so she decided to allow, because she was a little lonely, to have Charlie to sleep in her bedroom on the floor, of course. Well, over the next few days, Charlie had transitioned from the floor to the bed. And by the time Jesse came back home, the dog was firmly entrenched upon the bed and would not go back out to the hallway. And what was worse, it found its way to the head of the bed. And like I said, it did have a gas problem. So not only was the uncomfortableness of having the dog laying between them, taking up bed space, the fact that quite often the dog would, smell. This little story about Charlie really happens to a lot of people, doesn't it? Because we know the limitations that God has set for us, but the reality is it's hard to get it back in the box once you've overstepped the boundaries that God has placed for you. Now, if you have children and they've ever thrown temper tantrums, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like if you kind of let it go, and as a parent, I got to tell you, it's tempting just to say, forget it. If my wife can't handle it, I'm going to go out in the garage. We don't have to hear it. But the more you let it go on, the worse it gets. And before too long, you have a child that simply won't listen at all. Or perhaps it's a married adult who spends too much time at work, too much time with other people, and not enough time at home with his family and his wife. Or it might be a teenager that kind of takes the curfew hour and presses it out a little bit further every night just to see how far they can push it. Or if, like our kids, forget about the curfew, they just climb out the bedroom window. We finally fixed that a few years later. But the bottom line of it is we always want to press the limit. So for Jesse and Janie, the people just staying within the boundaries are hard to do. And they don't want to go back to where they were before because they're already entrenched with where they're at. So how do we address sin? Well, Jesus has these words: "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own house." Instead of a loving household, when there's lines distinguishing right and wrong, anger comes out, and people don't want to go back to where they were before. Back to where they're supposed to be at all. It's kind of a battle against good and evil, against light and darkness. Well, that was the situation that Jeremiah found himself in as the prophet of God. For the Israelites were not living as God had called them to live. The Israelites had really stepped over the bounds of who God had called them to be and were completely ignoring Him. Well, it got to the point where God could ignore their sin any longer, and so He sent the prophet Jeremiah to proclaim His word of truth. And this is where God sends Jeremiah with that word of truth and to the wretched, sinful condition of the Israelite people at that time. You see, the problem is they didn't see a problem with the way they were living their lives. Hey, you know what? We have the temple. It's a beautiful temple in Jerusalem. You see, even inside, all these sacrifices, we have all the sacrifices we make. We do all these things for God. I don't see the problem. And Jeremiah came and began to proclaim a word of judgment against them because year after year after year, they begin to take their eyes off of their Heavenly Father and place it upon their own works and their own so-called righteousness. Well, God tells the prophet Jeremiah exactly what to say. He wanted him to go in and remind these children of Israel about the sin of their forefathers and the destruction of a town by the name of Shiloh centuries before. Now, if you've never heard of Shiloh except for the Civil War Shiloh, well, this Shiloh was the first capital in the Promised Land after the Israelites had made their way through the wilderness, crossed the Jordan, they'd entered the Promised Land, this land filled with milk and honey. And there Shiloh was the place where God had chosen to dwell amongst His people. And Israel was no longer on the move. They had a solitary location where God dwelt right in their midst. And it was a beautiful place. But the forefathers over time got way too comfortable with their lives in the Promised Land and began to forget all about what God had done for them, not only during their years of pilgrimage in the wilderness, but as they entered into the Promised Land, wiping their enemies out in front of them and literally giving them the gift of this land. They began trusting in their own works. Their perceived sense of holiness was accomplished by the things that they did. Their worship was kind of like punching a clock. You know, I came in, I gave my sacrifices, I've done enough. You know, I followed the Passover. You know, I'm in by Friday night at sundown, and I don't break the law. I serve You, Lord. Your law is written, and I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And they treated God's house as nothing more than kind of like a used piece of furniture. They began looking at the sacrifices as their way of winning God's grace and favor. And the problem is that they had lost sight of the fact that the sacrifices were made for their forgiveness. Lambs had lost their lives for the sake of their sins. Bulls, goats, and all these animals, their blood had flowed to wash over their sins. But the Israelites had completely forgotten and now focused solely upon themselves. But the point of the sacrifice was simply the wages of sin is death. When you sin, someone has to die. And for these Old Testament people, it was the blood of beasts that washed away their sins. But they only did the sacrifices. I'm just going through the motions. It's kind of like going to confirmation class and not really paying attention. Or coming to worship and just kind of like, I'm here. People have seen me. I guess I'm networking today because, you know, I'm here. Well, as you can well imagine, it didn't sit very well with God. He had warned them time and time and time again to repent of their sinful ways and turn back to Him. But they wouldn't listen. And so finally God sent forth the Philistines, which is a pagan army, and they literally wiped out Shiloh. It destroyed it completely, ransacked it, and left the Israelites as destitute and helpless. In the process, they even took away the Ark of the Covenant. But sadly, there's nothing new about those who Jeremiah prophesied about today in the Old Testament reading. The fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree. They were living the exact same way, but now they had even a bigger worship center in Jerusalem. It was amazing. A great temple complex with the walls and the gates and the pillars and Solomon's colonnade. It was a beautiful place. And they're thinking to themselves, look what we have. And the sacrifices were given, and to make it easy, they brought the sacrifices right into the temple court, and people could exchange money and buy their sacrifices. But in reality, they had lost sight of what the sacrifices were all about. And so finally, God got to the point where He could no longer stand their sin. So Jeremiah obeys God. He enters into the holy house of God and begins to prophesy the truth about them boldly. It's the same truth that Jesus tells his disciples centuries later. When they walk out into the temple court and say, look at all these amazing buildings. And Jesus says, you see all these buildings? Not one will stand upon another. They'll all be destroyed. And so Jeremiah pronounces that SOS to God's people to show them their sin and says, you know what? You see all this? You remember Shiloh, what God did to Shiloh because they would not repent? If you do not repent, you will be destroyed. Well, we know how it turned out for Jeremiah. The people were overwhelmed. They gave him an increase in pay. He lived in luxury the rest of his life. Right now, you should be laughing because that's not what happened at all. The reality is they wanted to kill him. They were utterly disgusted with what he said as he talked about their holy city. And so to shut the prophet up, they wanted to put him to death. And here's the thing. I know it's very easy to listen to a text about an Old Testament people and kind of forget that it applies to us today. Remember where I started at? God's word of truth, it's still relevant today in your life and in mine. I think the question is, how do we see God's house today? How do we live as God's people? When we hear the word of law proclaimed to us, how do we react? When sin is called sin, and there's a lot of sins in the world that many churches won't even talk about today. The litany is long, but how do we respond when your pastor brings those words to you? There are times in our lives where we look in the mirror of God's law and we don't really see anything. Pastor, I don't see the problem. But the reality is when I look in the mirror of God's law, I see, as we confessed earlier, a poor, miserable sinner who needs forgiveness. Is that where you're at today? Where do you look for peace, for comfort, and assurance? You know, the word Shiloh is a word that really refers to the Messiah, to Jesus. You know, because of the sins of the Israelites, Shiloh was completely and utterly destroyed, left desolate. If you think about it for a moment, when this Shiloh went to the cross of Calvary, he was crucified for our sins because of all that we have done. And he brought us life through it. Where do you look for peace, for comfort, and for assurance in your life? When you look at the church, what do you see? Some people say, well, Pastor, I see a pretty nice tax break. Oh, no, Pastor. I see a country club with like-minded people that has potlucks as a fringe benefit. No, Pastor. No, what I see is free therapy. No, what I see is a cluster of friends I can count on that won't spread my secrets to other people. No, Pastor, what I see, well, I'm better than my neighbor because I'm here. That's what I see, Pastor. Well, this morning as we gather here as God's Israelites today, we need to look back at Shiloh. We need to look back at the cross of Calvary where Jesus Christ suffered and died for all of our sins. We need to open our eyes and to see sin for what it really is. It leads to death. But today, through eyes of faith, we see the world differently, don't we? As we look at Christ upon the cross of Calvary, the world in which we live in says, this is defeat. This is a loser. This is what you get when you open your mouth when you should just keep it shut. But in the body of Christ, we see salvation. We see the Shiloh crucified for our sins. And through his shed blood, that life comes forth and we are a new creation. But you know, the most amazing thing about being Christian and most assuredly about being Lutheran is we know that Jesus Christ dwells in our midst today. Sure, he lives in our heart. But the reality is, he's in the voice of your pastor as words of absolution are spoken. It is the voice of Christ that you should hear. I forgive you all of your sins because that's what he does. Or in the water of your baptism, there Christ has ushered you into his kingdom. And most assuredly in a moment as you'll kneel at this altar and you'll literally receive the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, your crucified Shiloh, for the forgiveness of all of your sins and for the strength in your faith that changes everything about you. You are a new creation. Well, the reality is, the world in which we live in will just see plain bread and plain wine, no big deal. In fact, I don't even like Mogan David, some would say. But as Lutherans would say, you know what, I'll take it. Because I know that I received the flesh and blood of Christ, and I know that He forgives me for all that I've done, for all the times when I look at His church as nothing more than just a simple gathering place. And I don't see the sacrifice as clearly as I should. During this Lenten season, as you and I gather in this place, we are going to take that journey all the way to the Friday that we call Good, where Jesus is Good Friday'd for us to bring us life and salvation. May you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, never be disconnected from that truth. May we never stay at a distance. May we always draw near to receive the gifts that He died to give for you and for me. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.